This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
So, what we've been doing, the series that we teach on Wednesday, I bring to you on Sunday with a little bit more, okay? So even if you were here on Wednesday, you will probably hear some things you didn't hear today that will be a blessing to you and help you. But today we're talking about life-giving marriages, okay? Life-giving marriages. The devil's really tried to attack marriages and the family today. How many know that? So this subject is so very important, not only for us, but those who are hearing this message, that we understand how marriage is so important today. Okay? And we're going to look at some basics today, but also talk about some meanings of how our marriages can be life-giving. Okay? All of our marriages could be better. Can you say amen to that? And even today, if you're not married, but maybe you have intentions to get married one day, you may be single, this still will be good for you. Okay? And let me say this to you in the beginning also. The picture of marriage between a man and a woman, that relationship is also a picture of our relationship with God. Okay? So this will coincide with that today. So married or not, this will still minister to you, be effective if you let it. I hope you have ears to hear the things we're going to talk about, okay? So I want you, as we open today, I want you to turn to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to begin there. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at two verses in Genesis 2, verses 24 and 25. And again, today I'm going to be coming out of the Amplified Bible because I like the way it brings out some of our verses we're going to cover, okay? You know I'm a King James man, but sometimes I go to the Amplified. It's probably my second favorite version next to the King James. But let's read these two verses to open up our teaching today, our message, okay? Again, I'm coming out of Genesis 2, 24 and 25. It says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence." Okay? How many know today that marriage between a man and a woman, let me say, didn't we not read that here? Can I get an amen? Marriage between a man and a woman is God's idea and plan from the beginning of time. God's plan. Can I get an amen? God's plan for marriage is between a man and a woman, right? Which we understand in the beginning was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. How many know that? Okay? Just the thought of that just kind of throws me off. Adam and Steve, I can't see that. God doesn't see it either. So today I want to talk to you about the institution of marriage from God. God instituted marriage. God created marriage in the beginning, okay? And we understand how it's supposed to work from the Word of God. See, we don't, you know, get our theology or teaching from the newspaper or from books in the colleges today. We get our understanding of marriage from the Word of God. So that's what we're going to look at here today. Now, with these verses also, I want to just quickly go to another text and we'll come right back to Genesis. But in Mark 10, we kind of see the same thing being said. So let's go there quickly. Mark 10. In Mark 10, I want to look at two verses, Mark chapter 10, verse 6, because it kind of backs up what we're saying in Genesis 2. It says in verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, the beginning of creation, right? God made them male and female. Here it is again, okay? And then I want you to go to verse 9 with me. It says, what therefore God, someone say God, what therefore God has united man and woman, right? And what he means here, united, joined together, let not man separate or divide. Okay? So today, you know, we've been challenged on this with the laws that have been changed, that many are trying to do what? They're trying to do what God says don't let anyone do, which is what? Separate or divide a marriage between who? A man and a woman. Okay? We understand that there's new laws out there and they're doing marriage between a man and a woman and a woman. But in God's eyes, that's not true marriage. How many understand that today? We don't have to agree with that. We don't have to follow it. The world's going to do what they want to do. But it's our responsibility to bring out what is true marriage that God created in the beginning of time. Right? He instituted marriage. Praise God. So, we see here in verses 24 and 25, it says that a man and, of course, a woman are going to leave their father and their mother. Okay? There's going to come a time when you do that in your life. Okay? We talked a little bit about that Wednesday. And that may be a different time for everybody. Some may stay home, you know, until that very time when it's time to get married. Some will leave maybe early, whatever. But the point is, you know what? When we're in our family, we're together, and then changes come, right? Changes come, and hopefully your son and your daughter find the right person for their life, and then one day they're going to do what? They're going to leave from the home, okay? They're going to leave dad and mom, and they're going to what? Become united with a spouse, right? They're going to cleave, it says here, to their wife, okay? And it says, and they will become one flesh, okay? This is a process that happens, but it's so important that we understand this, that this is what's going to happen. You're going to become united to your wife. You're going to become united to your husband. You're going to become very what? Close. You're going to become very attached to your spouse. Amen. It says you're to what? Cleave to her. Right? I mean, you're really knit together. Okay? And for that to happen, you eventually will what? Become one. But really, the proper way of saying it is that you're going to become one. You're going to becoming one. Okay? It doesn't happen overnight. How many understand that? As you live together and work together and love one another and cleave to one another and are attached to one another, you will become one, which is a special thing today. Amen? How many know today we are one with God? Same thing, same principle. See, everything I'm going to talk to you about, earthly marriage is our heavenly marriage with God today. It's a beautiful picture of it, okay? So we see this here today, that this is what's going to happen when a man and a woman get married, okay? This is what begins to happen in their life. And I like here some of the things that it says. Okay, I want to comment a few thoughts here before we go to a different set of scriptures. But not only is this what happens between a man and a woman, but then here it says about how it was in the beginning. It says, and the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence. Okay? Why do you think that was? Why were they not embarrassed or why were they not ashamed? Well, I believe it's because they were innocent here. Can I get an amen? They were innocent and they were pure. What a good word to use. Amen. And how about this? They were without sin before one another and before God at this time. And how many know today in your marriage, it's the same way. In your marriage, we're to be innocent, right? with one another. We're to be pure in our marriage with one another, right? We're to be without sin in our marriage with one another. Now, of course, we know we make mistakes because we're human, but we need to, as much as within us, with God's help, we need to be right with our spouses. Amen. It's very important so that our relationships will grow. We're talking today again about what? Life-giving marriage. See, you heard this before, the term, it takes two to tango. Amen. You can't have one spouse just giving and giving and the other spouse just receiving. How many know that's going to stop eventually? You can't work that way. It takes both, the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, both to be giving, both to do their part to bring this relationship to be blessed. Okay? God wants marriages to be blessed today. How many know that? And let me say this, what a beautiful thing it is when a husband and wife are together and how they love one another and they're pure with one another. It's a beautiful thing. Just like it was in the beginning of time. You won't be embarrassed. You won't be ashamed in each other's presence, right? But you'll love to be in each other's presence. Amen. You love to, your spouse should be your best friend. Can I get an amen? Oh, that was kind of weak. Lord, we need some help here today. Your spouse should be your best friend. Not your friends at work. Not your buddies. Right? Not your girlfriends. They're part of your life. I understand that. But your wife or your husband should be your what? Your best friend. That's why you married that person. Hello. I look forward to going home to be with my wife. She's my friend. My best friend, okay? We have a lot of fun, me and my wife. You may not see the other side of us because we may not show it always here, but we always are having fun. We try to have fun at home. We kid around with each other. You know, we do as much as we can together. Why? Because that brings life to our marriage, right? It our marriage grows. We just celebrated 30 years recently, you know that. Right? So this is what God is looking for in our marriages today. A marriage needs to be filled with love and with purity. God gave us marriage as a primary relationship in which we can live out our relationship with God. See, as it was said Wednesday, if husband and wife don't have God in the middle or on top of the triangle, as it was said, right? That marriage will suffer and will be difficult just on your own trying to make it happen. But see, our marriage is a primary relationship that we live out with our relationship with God. Okay? So as we live our marriage out together, we're living it out with God in the middle of it. Can I get an amen? That's when it's going to be fruitful. Right? When God is in the middle of it, not on the bottom. Okay? Children are supposed to be on the bottom. It's God, husband and wife, and children below. It's an order, right? It's a family order, okay? So a lot of times we can see if our marriage, our relationship and our marriage is good, more than likely our relationship with God is good too. And also vice versa, okay? Because what? Our marriage should be a reflection of our relationship with God today. Amen. In Genesis 2, verse 18, I want to read that one to you. It says, "And now the Lord God said, it is not good or sufficient or satisfactory that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper meet, suitable, adapted, complementary for him." That's an important verse, right? God saw it and God knew that, you know what, it wasn't good for man to be alone. I agree. How about you, men? I don't want to be alone. I want a partner, right? It's not good for a woman to be alone, the Bible says, right? God, this is God's plan for us to have a relationship, a marriage with the opposite, let me say again, the opposite sex. Amen. All right? And I like what it says here in the Amplified. It says it wasn't good or it wasn't sufficient. It wasn't satisfactory for one to be alone, because some of your needs are not met when you're alone. Okay, but God saw it to be a blessing to have a helper, right? Someone who is, this is so important, someone who is suitable for you, right? Meaning this person is the right person, a match for you. Suitable, right? And complementary for you. So your spouse should not only be suitable, or there's a good match between you two, but you also complement each other with your spouse. Amen? You should complement each other. You're a good fit when God brings you together. Amen? When God has brought you two together. Okay? So, very important we see this here. Now, if you have a choice, though, if you want to be alone or not. How many know that? God gives you free will. Amen? And some choose not to get married. But that, I would say, that's a small percentage of men and women who choose to be alone. And how many know the Bible tells us in Corinthians in the New Testament, if you choose to be alone, you can make God your husband. Right? You are married to God, totally, to Jesus, right? And you're able to serve God even more. But that's a choice that you make. God doesn't put that on you. Remember, God said it's good for you to be with someone. And most of us are, for the most part, right? So it's a blessing. I want what God has for me. I want you to realize this today. Marriage is sacred before God. No amens. Marriage is sacred before God, and it must also be for us. Right? We can't just say, oh yeah, God believes marriage is sacred. Well, we need to believe that too, and we need to live by that, that it's sacred. It's holy before God, marriage, right? But how many know, unfortunately, today in our culture, the divorce rate for Christians as well as non-Christians alike is about 50%. Did you hear that? I didn't say just non-Christians, I said Christians also. 50% is the divorce rate. So, just staying married is a challenge today. Did you know that? And I would say this again, because so many don't have God in the middle of their marriage, the divorce rate is what it is. Okay, but it's not God's will today. God hates divorce. How many know that? God not only hates divorce between a man and woman, but God hates it when we divorce ourselves from Him. Did you ever hear that before? People spiritually divorce God every day, meaning, I don't want to do anything with you, God. I want to live my own life, right? What a terrible place to be in your life, right? We have to pray for people that they would see the need for God to be in their life. God not only wants us to stay together, but how about this? He wants us also to grow together. Can I get an amen? Let me say that again. He not only wants us to stay together, but He wants us in our marriages to grow together. If I look back with my wife, you know, we've grown together over 30 years. We have some here 45, 50 years. We've got a lot of experience in this church with marriage, okay? And how many know you've grown together with your spouse, right? You're not where you used to be. Hopefully you've learned some things throughout those years that you've been with your spouse. And mistakes maybe you made in the beginning of your marriage, you're not making them anymore because you've been what? Growing together. Can I get an amen? Not just living with each other, making it, you know, just trying to stay together, but you're growing together as a couple, right? Before God. Such a beautiful thing today. So our marriages need to be what? Life-giving. Okay? We must have life. We must bring life into our marriages. That's both's responsibility, husband and wife, right? And if our marriages are life-giving, which is what God wants for us, they will be our marriage a source of joy, energy, and fulfillment. That's a beautiful thing. If our marriages are how they need to be before God, we will have what? Joy in our marriages. Can I get an amen? How many want joy in their marriage? How about energy? You got energy in your marriage, right? When you see your partner, you're excited. You don't say, oh, I'm going to my room. That's not good. If your spouse comes home and you say, dinner's on the stove, I'll see you later. There's no energy there. How many understand? It's a blessing you made dinner at least, but, right? There should be what? Energy. Excitement is another word. Thank you. To see your spouse, right? You've been working all day. You get to come home and be with your spouse that you love, right? There's energy, excitement, right? There's fulfillment in our marriages. There should be. We talked about that Wednesday. Fulfillment. We plan to do things together. We have goals. We try to attain certain things together, right? And it's fulfilling in your marriage, right? When you accomplish things you want to do. You know, when you're first married, usually most people don't buy a house. It's very difficult. They get an apartment, but then the goal becomes to what? Buy a house one day, right? I was blessed with my wife. We prepared for that day. We went together about a year and a half, and during that time we were preparing and we looked for a house, and how God is so good, how good He was good to us. We got married and we went away for 2 weeks to Hawaii. That's a great start. How many know that? Most people we saw in Hawaii were there for a week, and then we told them, oh, we're staying another week. They were like, man, you're blessed. But what happened was we were away, and when we came back from our wedding, we had the closing of our house in like a week or 2 weeks right after our wedding. That's how God blessed us, you know. So right off the bat, we were in a home, which was a blessing. But that usually, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. God has different things for different ones, right? But fulfillment, again, is so important that you have that sense of fulfillment in your marriages, that you do things together, you have goals and aspirations, right? God designed marriage not only to fulfill our desire for intimacy, but also to provide a picture of the intimacy that God has with His people. So also in our marriages, in God's design, we're to be what? Intimate with one another, right? Here we talked about them being naked and not being embarrassed or ashamed, right? But God, you know, wants us to be what? Intimate with our spouse, right? We have intimate times, right? Not only physically, but emotionally, spiritually, in many ways, right? God wants us to be intimate, and that is a picture also of how we're to be intimate with the Lord. Can I get an amen? You have a connection with God, right? You have a bond, a closeness with God, right? In your relationship. Same way we are to have this bond in our relationships with one another. We have a picture of intimacy, right? Intimate. We can be intimate with our spouses. This is God's ideal for marriage, oneness, where we have interdependence, where we each give to the other. Okay? How many know how important that is in our marriages today? That we need to be one, right? We read it in the Scriptures, but for us to be one, we must be one, interdependent on each other. How many know we need each other, right? In your relationship, you depend on one another. One can't do it all. You share responsibilities. You share duties, right? You look to each other to depend on each other. And that breeds what? Oneness. Amen? It makes you one when you depend on one another. Same thing, we what? Depend on God today. Amen? We need God. And he actually needs us too. He wants a relationship with us. Did you know that today? God needs to have a relationship with you. He longs to fellowship with His people. What a beautiful thing today. So this won't happen on our own. How many know that? We need God's help in everything so that we're able to what? Love our spouses well. Okay? And how many know today that is such a key, is that we love one another. Amen? Just like you have a relationship with God, you love God, you have a relationship with your spouse, And the foundation, one of the foundational things in your marriage is that we what? Love one another. Amen? We love God. God loves us, right? Our spouses, we love one another. When love is lacking in a relationship, that relationship suffers. How many know that? Love binds us together, right? Love is such a beautiful thing. It's God's love, His agape love. Okay? So we've talked about some things here. How about not only about staying together or growing together, but how about learning together? That's part of growing. How many know that? We're learning together. As life experiences come, and we all have them, when you have children and different things happen, right? It's a time that we are what? Learning together in our marriages, right? And today I want to look at a couple more verses with you. They're not really that different, but the foundation today for a life-giving marriage comes from God's Word. How many know that? Our foundation, our marriages today must be built on the Word of God. Right? That is our foundation, right, today. If we have God's Word in our marriage, we will have a successful marriage. So, with that, I want you to go with me to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. And in Matthew 19, we want to look at a few verses, verses 3 to 6, okay? And this is about the Pharisees are challenging Jesus here, okay? Pharisees are kind of testing Jesus in the Scriptures here. So Matthew 19, verse 3, it says, "And the Pharisees came to Him," meaning to Jesus, "and they put Him to the test by asking, 'Is it lawful and right to dismiss and repudiate and divorce one's wife for any and every cause?'" You know, they were always trying to test Jesus. How many know that? The religious ones. They were trying to trick Him, always trying to, you know, get Him so they could put Him down, right? So Jesus answered, He said in verse 4, He says, "He replied, 'Have you never read that He who made them from the beginning made them male and female?'" So even Jesus refers to the beginning now. Interesting, right? He says, "Haven't you read?" He refers to what? The Word of God, right? The Old Testament, Genesis, right? The Pentateuch, the five books of the Old Testament, right? He says, "Haven't you read it? Don't you know how it was in the beginning? God made a male and female." Then He says, and He said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be united firmly, joined inseparably to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Wow, what a great answer. Amen. The Pharisees are trying to talk about divorce, and that they were trying to say, you know, isn't it true we can get rid of our wives for any reason? Right? That's what they were asking him. And Jesus says, You need to read. You need to understand how it was in the beginning that one leaves father and mother, man leaves father and mother, and what happens? He's united firmly. Somebody say firmly. Firmly, or joined inseparably. Oh, I like that there. Talks about the union that you have with your spouse. You're supposed to be what? Joined inseparably. No one should be able to separate you from your spouse. Can I get an amen? And you know the devil's going to try. The devil's going to try to throw people in your relationships to get you to, you know, do things that you shouldn't do. Even family, let me say, family sometimes will try to come in and destroy your relationship. You have to be so careful today. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it says that you are going to be firmly joined together and separately to the spouse, and then the two of you will become one, right? One flesh. Verse 6 says, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder or separate." Can I get an amen? God is saying, don't let anybody separate what God has put together in your family. Amen. Your marriage, God puts you together. Don't let anyone separate it. Let me go a step further. Don't let anyone separate your relationship with God. Amen. That was a good place for amen. No one should, you shouldn't allow anyone to come between your relationship with God and the same picture, your relationship with your spouse. Okay? No one. Even sometimes, if family tries to get involved, no one. Okay? Because that can happen, right? So, I'm not going to spend time today because it's really, you know the answer here as far as, you know, can we dismiss or divorce our wife for any cause? No, no, no. That's all I'm going to say. That's an easy question and answer to that, right? I'm not going to go into the reasons for it today at all. I want to stay focused on the positive about our marriages today, okay? And I want to look at, with these verses in our series that we're teaching, it wants us to bring some explanation about three things. The first one is about one leaving father or mother. What does that mean? Okay? When we leave father or mother and we get married, what that means is now we have a new primary focus, right? We are not at home all the time with mom and dad anymore. How many understand that, right? We're now, our focus is with our wife. Can I get an amen? Right? Your focus is with your wife now. It doesn't mean that you desert your parents, right? Hey, Ma. She didn't hear me, I don't think. That's okay. You don't desert your parents or you don't forget about them, right? But how many know when you were single, you were, if you were even still at home, or even if you weren't, you might be there a lot when you're single. But see, when you get married, now you're married to your spouse, right? So your primary attention and time is with your wife at home, okay? So you're leaving the place of home with mom and dad, meaning you don't stay there anymore. You're not going to spend the majority of your time, God bless you, you're not going to spend the majority of your time at home with mom and dad. You're going to spend your focus, your time now, with your wife, right? The majority of your time, your energy, everything, because you have a new home now. Can I get an amen? And that's a problem sometimes, that we don't spend enough time at home with our family, our new family, right? First, our spouse. And I always recommend too, and we did this, well, it was different with our relationship, but when you get married, you should take some time to enjoy one another in the beginning. Really get to know one another. Wait before you have kids. Can anybody say amen to that? Because when you have children, it changes everything. How many know that? Some of you have little ones. Right, Annalisa? Right, Johnny? When you have a little one, it makes the family a little bit different, and your time is spread out more, right? Because children are demanding. They need you, right? So I always encourage those who are getting married, take a year, maybe even 2 years, to just love each other and be strong in your relationship before you bring someone else into your family, because that will help you as you go on, right? So that's what I believe he's trying to say here when we leave our father and mother, okay? The next point has to do with being united to your wife. What does that mean? I think I've shared a little bit here, but I'll just bring a little bit more. To be united to your wife means that now you live with her and she's the center of your attention. And vice versa. Your husband is what? Your lives are centered around one another. Okay? It's your primary focus again, right? With God in the middle. Amen. With God in the middle, right? You're united. You cleave, right? That's a strong word that we read in the scriptures here, is that we cleave to one another, right? That's how closely attached you should be with your spouse, right? But sometimes, let me say this, we allow family to come in to hurt our marriages. How many know sometimes your parents or brother and sister may not like your spouse? Has anybody ever had that happen, right? Sometimes family, you know, relations can come in and try to disharmonize your relationship. So you have to be real careful that you don't allow that to happen. In-laws sometimes, right? God says that we're to be what? United to one another. So you have to protect your marriage. Okay? Everybody has to respect this is your marriage. This is who you marry because you love this person, and this is your family. Others have their family, right? We must respect one another's relationships. So you must be careful to protect your marriage from outsiders, even sometimes family. Okay? In-laws, what have you. So we cleave to our wife. We cleave to our husband. We don't cleave anymore to our parents. I'm not saying, again, you can still look to your parents, right? But you look to one another. Okay? There's a balance. There's a new order now that you're under. Okay? It's your spouse first, right? Before, it was your family, your parents first, because you were with them, whatever. And again, I'm not saying family, mom and dad are important. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying there's a new order now that you have to follow. God has made you now responsible for one another, your wife, your husband. Your mom and dad, they're still there, but they're responsible for each other, okay? And you, of course, help them as you can. You'll be there for them as they hopefully will be there for you, okay? That's what we're talking about here when we're talking about being united to our spouse. Everything now is centered around each other's lives, no one else first. And that's, again, where we have to be careful. Sometimes we get spread too thin. Right? We try to help anybody and everybody more than we help ourselves. And we lack the time and attention that we should have in our own home first. Okay? Remember, it's God first, then your family. Right? Then everything else underneath that. So don't allow, you know, other people or other things, you know, because sometimes our jobs, our professions can come in and take time from our family. We have to be careful with that again. All right? That we must be what? We must be centered around our spouses and then eventually children when they come. Okay? And then the last thing here, which I've kind of said it, but I'm kind of reviewing, it says, well, what does it mean? Well, the two will be one flesh. The two will be one flesh. Well, you will become intimate again with each other physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. The two of you become one, okay? As you go on, you shall begin to not only become one, but you even begin to look alike, too. How many know that? You begin to look alike, right? Because you become intimate with each other. You begin to not only be the same way, but you even look alike. And you become one in all phases of your life, okay? Which is a beautiful thing. You kind of grow on each other, and you know, it doesn't mean we're always agreed on everything. We know that. We sometimes need to agree to disagree. Okay? I know you know what I mean. Right? We don't always see things the same way, but we can come to some kind of agreement in that. Right? We support each other for the benefit of each other and for the family. Right? So we do, it's a process again of becoming two becoming one, okay? So again, don't ever let anyone separate you from what God has put together. Because the devil's doing really good at that today. Amen? The devil is really trying to destroy marriages. And let me say this, if he can destroy marriages, he can destroy families. And he's really put a lot of effort into that today in our society. So we must be careful that we don't allow anyone, whoever it may be, to come in and separate us from our spouses, right? From our loved ones, from our kids. All right, so one more thing I want to bring to you is, and I know you know this by what I've said already, that marriage is commended by God. Marriage is commended by God. I want to look at two scriptures real quick. Proverbs 18. How many receiving something from this today? Amen. Proverbs 18:22 It says, he who finds a true wife, I like that, true and before the wife, it says, he who finds a true wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Women should all say amen on that one, right? When a man finds a true wife, he finds something special, even more than good, right? It's beautiful, it's special, right? To have a wife is something great, right? To have a husband is something special, beautiful. And God, you obtain favor from God when that happens. It's God's will for you to be blessed with someone. Amen? His favor will be on you, right? How many know God doesn't put His favor on two people that live together and don't get married? That's not God's will. But again, that happens a lot today. I think a lot more people are living together than are getting married today in our world. For different reasons. I'm not going to go into that. But that's not the plan of God. God's plan is for you to be married and then live together and enjoy your marriage with your spouse. Okay? And then God's favor and blessing will be on you. When you don't do it God's way, you won't have His blessing. And we need His blessing. And my last verse is Hebrews 13:4. You should know all these verses. Hebrews 13, verse 4. I'm going to read it in both King James and Amplified. King James says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I like here how it says marriage is what? Honorable. Okay? It's an honor, and it needs to be kept that way with honor, our marriages, right? And then in marriage, the bed is undefiled. Okay? The bed is for the wife and the husband. There's nothing wrong with it for the marriage, those who are married. The Amplified says it this way, let marriage be held in honor. Let me say that again. Let marriage be held in honor or sacred, right? Because it is before God. He means here in honor or esteemed, worthy, precious, of great price. Our marriages, amen? And especially dear in all things. And thus, let the marriage bed be undefiled or kept undishonored, for God will judge and punish the unchaste, all guilty of sexual vice and adulterous. Wow. I like that version. It brings it out a little bit more. How what? God is for true marriage, amen? God will bless the marriage, right? But God will not bless those who do things differently, okay? Those who don't honor that marriage partner and don't stay true to your partner, right? And we see so much of that in the world today, but it even happens in the church sometimes, okay? How can it happen? Well, all kinds of reasons it can happen, right? But let me say this, if you're happy at home, the chances of a mistake happening are less. Should have got an amen. If you're happy at home, if you're fulfilling one another, if you're loving one another, if you're spending time with one another, you know what? The chances are a lot less that something will happen to destroy your marriage, right? But if you're not happy at home, if you're not spending time with each other, right? If you're not giving to your partner what they each need, then you know what? The devil will come in there and try to destroy your marriage. And you have to protect it. Don't let that happen. Because marriage is special before God. And it needs to be special for us today too. Praise God. So I'm going to stop there. This is really important information. Wednesday we will continue this. We're not done yet. Okay? There's a lot we can get into when it comes to marriage. So, and I hope that we come open-minded to learn, because, you know, even if you've been married 50 years, you can still learn something. How many know that? You can. Even if you've been serving God 50 years, you still don't know it all. How many know that? You don't. That's why He's God and we're not. And we need to always be open to receive and learn. So, Brother Ramel, can you put on some music for us? I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. Again, I hope today, even if you're not married right now, that you have taken this as a blessing for even your relationship with God. Okay? But if you are married today, and maybe some of the things we talked about are not strong in your relationship, and you need God to help you in your relationship with your spouse to grow to maybe some of the things we talked about. The altar is open. I will pray with you. Amen. Because that's such a blessing today for me as your pastor here to see your relationships blossom. That's God's heart, and it's the pastor's heart as a shepherd of the church to see you happy. Amen. When I see you happy, I'm happy. Praise God. When you're happy, God is happy. Amen. And with the Lord in the middle of our relationships, our friendships, our marriages, and we're going to go into other things eventually, that's God's will, that we're blessed and we're happy. So again, the altar is open. If you want prayer, I will pray with you. You want to share something with me that is confidential, what you tell me goes no further. If you want to share and just have me to pray about something, that's a trust relationship we have, right? Amen. But God wants you to grow and to not only stay together, but grow together. God wants you to be happy and blessed, and so do I. So we're going to pray. Again, if you need prayer, I will pray with you. Father,